Hey, everybody, this is Gene Troyer. I'm the lead pastor of Restore Church, and what a pleasure it is to welcome you to our podcast. It's my hope that you will be marked by love and encouraged in your faith and inspired to become all God has created you to be. Now, I invite you to lean in and enjoy the podcast.
Good morning. Happy Easter, everybody. So good to be with you together this morning. My name is Gene. I'm part of the team here at Restore. And I should, since I'm a pastor, I should love Easter Sunday morning, and I do. And I hope that you came here this morning with great expectation about what God might do in us as we gather together here this morning. We have been in a series all during Lent that we're finishing up this morning. This series was called Giving It Up. And this morning I want to talk to you about giving up death. Giving up death. It's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? Like, we all think about death. My dad is like 86 years old, and he's not obsessed with death in any stretch of the imagination. He has a long time ago decided to leave dead living, dead thinking behind. And he knows what's before him is inevitable. Guess what? It's inevitable for you and I as well. But he knows that what's before him is probably a little closer than most of us because of his age. But none of us ever know, like, what does tomorrow hold? How do we give it up? How do we give up death? How do we reject death? I think we have to ask some questions, like, is it possible that we keep perpetuating actions and circumstances in our lives that lead us away from real life and instead keep us in the tomb of our own making? So how do we move out of those patterns of our lives that we've developed that we'd sure like to change? I mean, we've tried. We've complained, and we've prayed more, we've tried harder, we've yelled and screamed about how unfair all of this is, and still things don't seem to change, right? We have those times in our lives. In the opening, we heard the scripture that talked about the women who came to the tomb on Easter Sunday morning, that very first Easter Sunday morning. The women came to the tomb, and they found an angel in the tomb. The stone rolled away, and an angel inside. And the angel looked at these women and said, ask this question. They ask, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? I think that's a great question. Why do we look for things that are dead? Why do we invest our time and energy in trying to find life in dead things? Well, we're human, and we have deep desires. We want certain things for our lives. We want belonging, right? We want to be affirmed. We want to have meaning in our lives. But so many times we go for affirmation and belonging and meaning in our lives with stuff. We want the right house. We want the right husband, the right wife, the right girlfriend, the right boyfriend. We want the right car. We want status, and we want social media likes. All of these things are the things that we lean into because they're so tangible, and we can get our hands around them, and we can touch, and we can feel. But guys, if we keep investing time and energy into what will surely fail us, and if we keep expecting that people, places, and things will somehow satisfy these deep, deep desires, these longings of our hearts, we're going to continue to experience what we've always experienced. We're going to keep experiencing deep disappointment, depression, and anxiety. What I know this morning is that we all want more out of life. We're not sitting here this morning going, yeah, I don't want any more out of life. Like, I don't want to have great experiences. I don't want to meet great people. Well, maybe somebody does, but most of us don't. We all want more out of life. We want to matter. We want our lives to be impactful. But do we want this more than anything else? Do we want this more than anything else? Will we lean into the more difficult way? We've been talking this whole series about following Jesus is not the easy way. Following Jesus requires us to do some really, really hard work. But are we up for it? Is that what we really choose to do? In Romans 8:11, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you." He's giving encouragement. He's saying, "Hey, look, guys, it can be different. Let me remind you that the Spirit of God, Almighty God, who raised Jesus from the dead actually lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he's going to give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you." The word mortal kind of trips us up sometimes. We don't usually speak in that way. But mortal simply means it's subject to death. Our bodies are subject to physical death. So even when our bodies give out, even when we succumb to disease and sickness, even still, Paul reminds us that same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Power to live in a place of love, of joy, and peace. Have you ever tried to live at peace? Have you ever tried to live with joy and love without having the Spirit of Christ in you? It's simply not sustainable. It is ours. This Spirit, this power is ours regardless of our circumstances. Jesus was in the tomb where our sin, all our guilt, all our shame are placed on him, but still it did not keep him down. Maybe God wanted to make sure that we would know that he is skilled at bringing dead people back to life. The same power lives in you and I that raised Jesus from the dead. I believe that when we stop talking about the power of God and begin to live in the power of God, the trajectory of our lives will change 180 degrees. Let me say that again. When we stop talking, we're really good at talking. When we stop talking about the power of God and begin to live in the power of God, the trajectory of our lives will change 100. You're going to be going this direction, and you say yes to Jesus, you say yes to the power of God in your life, you're going to be going that direction. You're leaving all of this behind. A new life awaits. See, this was true for Peter. Peter was a disciple of Jesus. He was part of his inner circle. Peter was a guy, like I love Peter. He was outspoken, he was strong-willed, he was brash, impulsive. He's a guy that you've all heard the story of stepping out of the boat. Jesus comes out walking on the water. Peter freaks out until Jesus said, "Hey, it's me, guys, it's me." And Peter's like, "Well, call me to come to you." And Jesus said, "Come on." Jesus said, "Come on," and Peter steps out of the boat. He's the guy that took his eyes off of Jesus because he made that seemingly impulsive decision and starts drowning, and he's the guy that says, "Jesus, help me, help me." He was also a man filled with humility. He had great faith. He turns out to be an incredible leader. But one day, as we were celebrating Good Friday, we now remember that Peter was with Jesus all during his 3 years of ministry, and Peter steps with Jesus as Jesus is taken to a couple kangaroo courts where they just charged him with things he was not guilty of. And Peter was part of that. He was part of the crowd that was observing this. And in Matthew 26, here's how the story rolls out. Jesus is in with the high priest at that point. And Matthew 26 records a story as Peter was sitting out in the courtyard and a servant girl came up to him. "You were also with Jesus the Galilean," she said, but he denied it before them all. "I do not know what you're talking about." When Peter had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, he denied it with an oath. "I do not know the man." After a little while, those standing nearby came up to Peter. "Surely you're one of them," they said, "for your accent gives you away." At that, he began to curse and swear to them, "I do not know this man." And immediately, just as Jesus had prophesied, a rooster crowed. Have you ever had a dream? Have you ever had a dream about how your life would be? What you would do, who you would be, what you would become. but it was all dismantled. See, in this moment, that's what Peter found himself experiencing. A dismantling of all that he thought was going to be true. I would imagine that Peter had thoughts like, I'm not coming back from this one. I believe Peter's heart was filled with bitterness and self-hatred, with pain and with sorrow. You and I have all experienced at some level these emotions. You know that sin leads you to misery, just as Peter found out. The sin of denying Jesus led him to a place of misery. But do you know that it doesn't make you any less a son or daughter of the Father? See, that's the beauty of Jesus. It's the beauty of the grace and mercy that Jesus extends to us even this morning. If sin had the power to remove you as a son or a daughter of the Father, then we would be tossed in and out of the Father's house many times each day. You know, each time we're distracted by the concerns of this world, whether we are angry and anxious and do not love those who attack us, well, we would just be cast back into the tomb, our grave. Then when we'd get our act together again, we'd rise up and be glorified again, and it'd be like a yo-yo, up and down, righteous, unrighteous, righteous, unrighteous. Our security, guys, is not in our own efforts. Our security is in the promise that as children of our Heavenly Father, we are no longer under condemnation or judgment, but instead we are alive as never before. Even though our enemy, the devil, would keep us in the tomb, that's not our destiny. Our destiny is not to remain in the tomb. Because when we choose the way of Jesus, we choose the way of resurrection. We have new life. No longer are we dead, but empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are alive. On Resurrection Day, that very first Easter Sunday morning, after the women had given testimony, had given witness to the disciples that Jesus isn't in his grave anymore. Come, see, let's go. You got to go see this. He's not there anymore. We don't know where they put him. Peter, ever at the ready, jumped up. He ran to the tomb to look, and stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. So, per usual, when Peter was all in, he was all in. And he arrives at the tomb. He doesn't just stay outside. He's not just tiptoeing around the edges. Some of us this morning have been standing outside, and we've been tiptoeing around the edges, trying to not get too close. It's time to get all in. If there's any hope at all, Peter's got to see it for himself. Hope replaces despair. He hasn't seen Jesus, but he's definitely not in the tomb. What if it's true? Could it be true? Peter turns and he leaves, amazed at what he has seen and experienced. And this morning, I believe we stand with Peter in his amazement. See, the action of Jesus reverses our understanding of the cross. The action of Jesus reverses our understanding of death. We no longer see the cross as a place of death or the tomb as permanent, but as a place where dead people become living, breathing, beautiful, more alive than ever before. Resurrected, thriving people that have a new perspective, people that are agents of peace and grace, people that are alive with Christ and dead to self. This is the work and action that happened at the cross, at his burial, and at his resurrection. Again, the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are, you and I, We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Get a hold of this, friends. God is making his appeal. We are plan A for his distribution of grace and mercy to the people around us. We are plan A for communicating the gospel of Christ. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. If you've never heard that before, if you've never experienced the love and grace of Jesus in your life, I want to invite you to step into that this morning. I know nothing more than the power of Christ, the grace of Christ, the mercy of Christ over my own life. When I surrendered my life to Jesus, I made that 180. It's never been the same. How about you? Some of us have been following Jesus for a long time. And some of us have been getting beat up a lot lately. We're experiencing really hard things. Some of it is our own doing. We have been giving ourselves to the things of this world because it doesn't seem like God is coming through on his end of the deal. We've been suffering. Sometimes of our own doing, sometimes at the hands of other people. And sometimes life is just hard. But what I know is that when we begin to doubt, when we begin to question the goodness of God, the enemy, we give him an inch, he'll take a foot. And when we don't remember who and whose we are, we will succumb to ways of thinking and living that leads us to darkness and despair. And then we wonder why life isn't working the way I wanted it to. Maybe it's because we want the accolades of the kingdom, but we reject the suffering of the kingdom. Maybe it's because we want the accolades of the kingdom, but we reject the suffering of the kingdom. We want the benefits without the commitment. It's time we give up death. It's time we give up death. In Matthew 3:2, this brief scripture, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is for all of us. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent means to change your inner self, your old way of thinking, regret of past sins. Live your life in a way that proves repentance and seek God's purpose for your life. This is what it means to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. No one else is coming for us. No one else is coming for us. No other religion has a God that comes to us. Every other religion is always about trying to do enough, worship enough, sacrifice enough, always about doing enough to avoid the wrath of the gods of the religions of the world. And frankly, when we worship gods of our own image, when we worship our children, our spouses, our hero, ourselves, more than we worship Almighty God, look, we're never going to do enough to satisfy the requirements of this human psyche. So we live in despair and defeat, never measuring up. But Jesus, the only Son of God was sent that whoever turns and walks away from dead things and believes in him will not be rejected, will not be turned away, but instead will be resurrected with Christ. Death does not have the last word. God does. And God's word is life. When we give up death, we give up dead thinking, dead living, and we step into the abundant life where we are no longer conformed to the pattern of this world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, discerning what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. What do you want this morning? Do you want to remain in that dead living, that dead thinking? Or do you choose life? And do you give up all of that death and choose to step into life? Would you stand with me? I think on this Easter Sunday morning, it's appropriate and good that we all examine our lives again. Does it measure up? Are we aligned with Almighty God? So I'm going to invite all of us, actually, not just those that have never surrendered their lives, but for all of us that would just say again, Jesus, I give you my life. Like, mean it like you've never said it before. Transformation happens when we actually do what we say we're going to do. You can say these words for the rest of your life not apply it. We have this capacity to say one thing and do another. I invite you to just simply say the words of Jesus, I surrender my life. Father, in the name of Jesus, all across this room, I know that you are doing your deep, abiding work. The work that you do in us lasts forever. Jesus, I give you my life. Simple phrase, big commitment. Jesus, I give you my life. I leave death behind and I step into life. I don't want the dead things anymore. I don't want dead thinking. I don't want dead living. What I want is to be alive, fully alive, like never before. I choose, Jesus, to step into the abundant life. Thank you, Father. We are grateful. And we give ourselves to you this morning again, and we're grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Please rate and review us on Spotify and iTunes, and join us again for next week's podcast. We love you and pray blessing and peace over you and your family.